brought to you by Penguin.
The Immune Mind. Written and read by me, Monty Lyman. Author's note. On the odd occasion when I've had to explain to a dinner party guest that medical students do not have to take the Hippocratic Oath on graduation, there has always been a slight exhale of disappointment. But this ancient vow still underpins many of our modern codes of medical ethics, including the sacredness of doctor-patient confidentiality. What I may see or hear in the course of treatment, or even outside of treatment, in regard to the life of patients, which on no account one must spread abroad, I will keep to myself. In this book, I have protected my patients with many layers of discretion. Names, features, and locations have been altered beyond recognition. While my clinical and research interests explore how the mind, immune system, and gut microbiome interact, I have no institutional or financial incentive to promote a particular test or treatment. Through detailed research and interviews with world experts and patients, I have developed opinions on this fascinating, fast-emerging field. Opinions that are separate from the institutions with which I am affiliated: the National Health Service, NHS, the University of Oxford's Department of Psychiatry, and Lincoln College. While my intention is that reading this book enriches your life and health, individualised medical advice should always come from your health practitioner. Prologue. I'm very poorly today and very stupid, and hate everybody and everything. Charles Darwin, in a letter to Charles Lyell, 1st of October, 1861. This week's been a bit of a write-off, she said. I paused for a second or two. Had I done anything wrong? It had all been going so well. Her case, which had started out so simply, would make me rethink everything I had been taught about mental health. It was my first year of psychiatry specialty training, and Emma was one of my first cognitive behavioural therapy, CBT, patients. I'd recently been trained in the fundamentals of this form of psychological therapy, which culminated in treating a patient with major depressive disorder, MDD, which most people call depression. There were 12 weekly sessions in total, each followed by a supervision session with a senior clinician. Emma was a financial advisor in her mid-40s, and had suffered deep troughs of disabling depression for at least a decade. She was usually a high flyer, metaphorically and physically, regularly leaving her central Oxford townhouse to jet off around the world to meet high-net-worth clients. And she played as hard as she worked, spending one half of her time off in the London party scene and the other walking her beautiful miniature golden doodle around leafy Oxfordshire. Her bouts of depression always tended to come out of the blue, like a descending curtain. It's like I'm looking at life through a grainy black-and-white filter. When I met Emma for our first session, via video link due to the COVID-19 pandemic, she was in a bad place. Emma had become trapped in a tormenting cycle of believing that she was hopeless at her work and unlovable in her personal life. Her usual enthusiasm and drive had completely evaporated, and she could not extract pleasure from anything. Even her go-to Netflix comedy shows. Before each weekly session, Emma would enter her depression score into the hospital's online system, which we would then discuss and track over the course of her treatment. The score was calculated from the patient health questionnaire, which assesses the following symptoms of depression: low mood, reduced ability to experience pleasure, otherwise called anhedonia, fatigue, sleep problems, appetite changes, reduced concentration, feelings of guilt, speed of functioning, and thoughts of suicide. She scored reasonably highly in all of these, except the latter, and wound up with a total of 18 out of 27, moderately severe depression. Over the coming weeks, to my delight, that score began to drop. Much more importantly, Emma's subjective experience was improving alongside this relatively arbitrary symptom score. Indeed, she found it immensely encouraging to see her mood lift, slowly but surely. Emma found that CBT's pragmatic approach suited her.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?